Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. You probably don't remember this, Dina, but you were last on this program on March 18th. You were, in fact, the last guest on the program to be in our studio at Spirit Square before everything shut down. And here's what I asked you that morning. We need to talk about the coronavirus. And you're the point person here in the county on that, aside from Gibby Harris, who is the health director. Give us an update on where we stand, because I asked you this morning, just before we went on the air, that I read in the paper this morning, the number is 11 cases in Mecklenburg County. That's no longer true.
No, we are up to 14 now. We had three new cases, positive cases overnight. And, you know, we'll see where we go, but obviously that was not unexpected.
Wow. Did you expect the increase in cases that we've had since then? Did you have any heads up or any inkling that we'd be where we are today back then?
Well, no. I mean, clearly, you know, as of this morning, we're at 25,575 cases. But, you know, March 18th, you said, mm-hmm. you know, it feels like decades ago in this coronavirus pandemic that we're living in. And we've learned so much, as everybody has, about the virus and how it operates and what it does and what the impact is. And we're just trying to, you know, do what we can to try to keep the virus from spreading here in our community. And as you can tell, you know, it's very contagious. So going from 14 cases to 25,000 cases is a lot.
I think you just said 25,575. And the number I had yesterday was 25,386. That's how fast this thing grows. The county health director, Gibby Harris, has said that the county's numbers continue to rise, but they're rising at a slower rate, that the spread, she says, is low and stable. Do we understand why?
Well, we think that, you know, the measures that we've been taking, you know, we're seeing higher compliance with people wearing masks. You know, we've got the alcohol restrictions in place. We're doing a lot of messaging. We have the Count On Me CLT campaign, which is really targeted to certain populations that are disproportionately impacted by the virus and trying to get them to practice the three W's, wear a mask, wash your hands, and wait 6 feet. I mean, I think it's a combination of things. I think it is a more awareness. But if we can continue to keep those numbers stable over time, eventually we'll see them go down.
Our tests,
it's going to take time.
Are tests readily available for people who want them? And if they are, is the turnaround time to get results effective?
There's ample testing opportunities in the county. So anybody who wants or needs a test should be able to get one. And we are seeing the turnaround times get better. They had spiked up to maybe sometimes 7 to 10 days. But we are now seeing the test results come back a lot quicker, which is really important. It's not effective if people don't get their results quickly.
Around the country, nursing homes and elder care facilities were really hard hit by this virus. And I think that was the case here. I don't know how we compared to the national situation. We seem to have a handle on it now, though. What are we doing to keep cases in those facilities low? And I have 30 seconds.
You know, just trying to make sure that those facilities are doing the testing that they need to be doing of their employees and their patients. That's and just staying on top of that. That's really the best that we can do. And our health department works closely with all those facilities to try to support that effort.
More to talk about with COVID-19 and its impact, economic and otherwise, on Mecklenburg County, because there's a severe economic impact going on here and around the country. Dina DiOrio is with us. She's our Mecklenburg County manager, and we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Fifth Third Bank, dedicated to the financial empowerment of the community by investing time, resources, and people in the Charlotte area and throughout the state. More at 53.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Dina DiOrio, Mecklenburg County Manager, is with us for the remainder of the hour to talk about COVID-19 and its impact on the county. Are you worried, as area colleges and universities come back into session, that we're going to experience an uptick? Because right now things are still rising, but at a slower rate. Are you worried about that?
Well, I think we are. I mean, you know, you look at what's happening across the country at universities, and, you know, and we've had conversations, particularly with UNC Charlotte, about their plan. And what we have told them from the beginning is your plan for what happens on campus is really solid, and you can control what happens on campus. It's what happens off campus right. that you don't control. And that's where we're starting to see these clusters break out, is when students go off campus housing and parties and other things. So, yeah, we are very concerned about what will happen when universities come back full
So UNC Charlotte has decided not to go back to classroom education until October 1st, and that decision is subject to change. Other smaller schools are doing hybrids, and they're also doing online-only education. But CPCC is doing a hybrid. They're having kids in the classroom, and they're also bringing upping their game when it comes to online. These kids don't stay on campus. They come to the campus for their classes, and they go home. Isn't that the same thing that you're worried about? And that right now around the country, they're saying if you're on a campus and you come down with it, stay there. Don't go home. Are you worried that these kids coming and going are going to be a problem?
Well, I think it's more about the gatherings that we're seeing at some of these universities. It's not so much that they, you know, go home. It's what they do when they go home, and they have mm-hmm. a lot of parties. You know, the CPCC they're not residence-based education, so they don't gather as groups like they would when you're at a 4-year university.
Okay. It was reported that 4 people at the Republican National Convention here in Charlotte tested positive for COVID, potentially exposing an additional 14 people. That was as of Friday. Has that number changed since then?
Yeah, I haven't heard whether or not that number has changed. Obviously, those delegates have all gone home.
Right.
And the RNC is supposed to be tracking them for some number of days once they leave to see whether or not we have any additional infections. So as far as I know, that's the status of where
things stand. And there was an article in the paper this morning. One of the businesses that have been hard hit by this because they haven't been allowed to open are gyms. And there was an article in the paper this morning that there are gyms in other parts of the state that are choosing to open this week despite the governor's order to stay closed. Do you know of any gyms in this area that are making that decision? And if so, how are they getting away with it?
You know, I don't know of any specific gyms. I know that there are some that have, tried to open. When we hear about that, we send a complaint to CMPD, and CMPD will go and talk to that gym owner and encourage them to close and comply with the governor's order.
We know that social distancing and wearing masks are two of our most effective and probably the only tools that average people have in their toolkit to prevent getting this virus or transmitting this virus to others. But city and county officials have been very reluctant to enforce any mandate. Why?
Well, it's not reluctance to enforce. It's, you know, the way the orders are written, they don't give us the flexibility to enforce. So, for example, the mask mandate, which is a governor's order, does not permit enforcement at the individual level. It is really the onus of doing that is placed on businesses. So a business owner, if I walk into a business, I don't have a mask, business owner says, put a mask on, or you have to leave, and I don't leave, then the business owner can call the police and I can be arrested for trespassing. So that's how that whole mask mandate gets enforced. We don't have the authority to enforce it at the local or at the individual level.
Why do you suppose
the alcohol restrictions.
That's because of the ABC board, right? They're licensed.
Well, no, in CMPD, that's part of our local order is that we can do that. Okay. It's a class 2 misdemeanor under our local order.
So why do you suppose the governor wrote these orders in such a way that it makes it difficult to enforce if he himself, and he has, says that wearing a mask is vitally important?
Well, you know, it's really a hard thing to enforce. And having conversations with local law enforcement here, they indicated to us that, you know, having the bandwidth and the resources to enforce that at the individual level would be very, very difficult. So I think there may have been, again, I didn't speak to the governor when he wrote this or what was in his mind, but having some recognition that, you know, law enforcement would have a difficult time enforcing it at the local level. So putting it at the business level made more sense.
The number of COVID-19 cases in North Carolina continues to rise, though hospitalizations are on the decline. Is that because hospitalizations trail the number of new cases coming online, or because the cases that we're seeing aren't as virulent as the earlier cases of COVID-19? Do you know?
I think it's a combination of both. What we see, particularly after a long weekend, so after 4th of July, we see a spike in cases, and then we start to see hospitalizations go up, and then they trail off. So there is that aspect to it. But we've also learned that, you know, the doctors have learned a lot about how to treat COVID. And so when they get and have to be hospitalized, they're able to treat them more effectively. And the length of stay, the average length of stay, is actually lower than it had been at the beginning of the virus when we didn't have all those tools in the toolbox. So there's a combination of factors that impact hospitalizations.
We're currently in phase two, which takes place, most of which will end on September the 11th, possibly to be renewed by the governor or possibly to move on to phase three. But some parts of phase two are anticipated to lurk into or leech into October. Bars, gyms, other businesses are praying that the governor will move to phase three, which allows them to reopen. What are you hearing either from local or state officials or from the governor himself about where they're leaning in making that decision in 10 days from now?
Well, we know the governor has a press conference today where he is expected to loosen some restrictions. I hear that it may be gyms. I don't know for sure. I don't have confirmation of that. So we may see that sometime later this week. I don't see bars reopening. I mean, the governor yesterday just extended his alcohol restrictions to October, till October 2nd, I believe. So I think there's recognition that bars will continue to be an area where we'll see continued spread if they're allowed to operate. And so I think that that's one that will stay in place, if I had to guess. But again, we may see some loosening around gyms and some other kinds of facilities that have been closed since the beginning of the pandemic.
I know initially when this pandemic first hit and everybody shut down, the county kind of cut back on some services to their constituents. Is that continuing, or have you kind of built back up to something approaching normal?
So we really never stopped providing all of our services. We had to make some adjustments along the way, but, you know, residents should be able to access any service in the county that they need. And if there's something they're not able to access, they need to let me know, because we have been able to provide all of our services to all of our residents.
Revenues must be down at all levels of government, even as unemployment has soared. And because unemployment has soared, because taxes aren't being paid to the degree that they were, et cetera, through August the 9th, revenue for Mecklenburg County small businesses, I'm told, has fallen nearly 26% for the year. Statewide, that figure is 12%, which actually isn't as severe as I thought it was going to be. That's actually kind of hopeful. How is that impacting Mecklenburg County's finances right now, and how is it likely, what kind of residual effect is it likely to have as we go forward?
Well, where we're seeing the most impact is in our sales tax revenue and our sales tax receipts. But when we put our budget together for this fiscal year that started on July 1st, we made some pretty significant assumptions about sales tax reduction. So our budget assumed about a 20% reduction in sales tax. So we're experiencing that, but we expected it. So the budget is holding as we put it together. So the one area that we're not 100% sure yet is on property tax collections. We'll start to see more. The bills just went out in July, so we'll start to see more of an indication of that probably in November or December to see whether or not people have the capacity to pay their property taxes. The only baseline we really have was in 2008 and 2009 when we had the Great Recession. We didn't see an impact on property taxes. People were able to pay those. So we'll see whether or not this repeats itself or we have a different outcome this time.
I was going to ask you whether this is right now worse than or as comparable to the Great Recession for the county, or whether you anticipate it to be. And so far you're saying no?
Well, I think we were able to do a little bit better job forecasting. I think the county was in a better financial position now than we were back in 2008. And I think this is a different kind of recession. I think what you're seeing here The fundamentals of our economy, I think, are still very strong. We're in 2008, we were in a financial crisis, which is a very, very different kind of crisis that you have to overcome. So I think this is different. I think this is something we were able to anticipate a little bit better than we were in 2008 or 2009.
But with so many people unemployed, with so many businesses unable to open or not able to open at full capacity, why isn't that having the same effect that the Great Recession had on the economy and people's ability to spend money and pay taxes and do all the things they do in a healthy economy?
Well, because what we're seeing is that while, you know, we saw, you know, a lot of people lose their jobs, we are seeing some of those jobs actually start to come back as we reopen. And so we know that there's some businesses that won't come back, and that's incredibly unfortunate. We're not able to save every small business. But we also have some of these programs in place that we didn't have in 2009. We have, you know, the Paycheck Protection Program. We've got some of these, this CARES funding that's come through that allows us to provide grants to businesses to help sustain them. We didn't have all of these resources and support in 2009. And I think these programs have been beneficial to help sustain people over this period of time.
And you say that soon there will be an additional source of financial relief for small business owners. Where is that coming from?
So again, this is part of our coronavirus relief funding that we got from the federal government. We're going to be allocating about $1.3 million to do grants for small businesses in the six towns and the unincorporated areas of the county. The city has already set up a small business grant program, $30 million for businesses in Charlotte city limits. So we wanted to be able to extend something similar to businesses that are outside the city, but within the county. And so we are getting ready to launch that, and people can go to our website to get more information about how they can apply.
What is the website?
MECNC.gov.
Okay. So is most or all of this money coming from federal sources?
For this grant program, yes, it's all federal funding.
And as a person in government, you know that services equate to taxes, in other words, revenues. So revenues are down everywhere, and one would assume that at the federal government, as they're spending trillions of dollars on this, all this comes due at some point in time. What do you see the outcome of all this being 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 5 years from now, when the bill comes due?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, the federal government has the luxury of not having to have a balanced budget every year. So they, you know, they have the ability to spend money that way. What the long-term impact on the economy will be remains to be seen. I think locally, our economy here is going to rebound. I have no doubt in my mind. I think our fundamentals are strong, and I think we'll see those jobs come back, within the next 12 to 18 months. I'm not an economist, but that's my prediction.
Right. You mentioned that some businesses may not recover, and it's going to take some other businesses a long time to get back to where they were and to make up the difference in what they've lost from not being able to be open. And I asked a group of restaurateurs on this program a couple weeks ago if they thought that when this is over, we'll have the restaurant scene that we had before the COVID-19 crisis. And they said no. They didn't think it would come back the way it was. The city's been doing all it can to help. I'm sure the county's been doing things to help in all of this. But the restaurant business is a significant business. It employs a lot of people. What will the impact of that be if we are set back 10, 15 years and where we were before the crisis?
Well, I think you're looking at not just restaurants, but the entire hospitality industries, hotels, motels, restaurants, all of that has been significantly impacted. And we'll have to see how and when we recover. It may not be the same. It'll be different. Yeah. But I do think that we'll see some restaurants return.
A federal help in terms of unemployment assets ended several weeks ago, and the Republican Senate seems in no hurry to come back and pass more money, even though the House has. Around the same time, moratoria on evictions and overdue utility bills also ran out. From what you know, are we about to experience this so-called tsunami of evictions that some have predicted?
Yeah, I think we are. We talk to the court system on a regular basis about the number of evictions that are in the pipeline that will be executed upon. We are working closely with legal aid to try to work with those folks to see if they can mitigate some of those evictions. But we do think there's more to come. We are very concerned about the tsunami on utility bills. We've been we have a group of folks that have been meeting to talk about what the impact will be and what the amount that's owed will be, to see what opportunities there are to potentially raise funds to try to help pay some of these utility bills. So we do think it's an issue, and we're trying to do what we can to try to mitigate some of that.
I know that recruiting is underway. I only have about 30 seconds left, but recruiting is underway for COVID-19 ambassador program. Are these people paid ambassadors? Or are they volunteer ambassadors to go out and tell people how not to spread this around and how they help us get better quicker?
Yeah, we've actually hired 7 ambassadors so far, and they are paid. We've got a few that are bilingual, which was a goal of ours to make sure that we could go out and talk to everybody in the community. And so that we believe some of them will be in this week to start their training. Others will be in next week to start their training. So yeah, we're getting ready to deploy those, and we have the capacity to hire about 10 more. And so to the extent that we need them, we'll continue to hire and deploy them throughout the community.
And a success would be to get people to stay socially distant, wear masks, cooperate with what they're being asked to do, and that will get us back to normal quicker. Is that the idea here?
That's it. Yeah, slow the spread. That's what we need people to do, is just do what we need them to do to slow the spread.
Dina DiOrio, County Manager for Mecklenburg County. Thanks for joining us this hour. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.